Welcome today. It's good to be together. Amen. Our El Salvador team says hi. They're on their way back. They're traveling 2.5 hours to the airport today, and then a couple of flights. They get back, I think, 12:30 tomorrow morning in Columbus, and then come back up this way. So I know I'm ready for my wife to be back. I don't know the rest of us. There's a couple of us that our wives are gone, and it's like, what in the world are we going to do with ourselves? So anyway, it is good to have them. They're having a great time, and they have seen some incredible things happen through their ministry this week. Looking forward to hearing all those things. They don't know this yet. I'm going to ask them to share on a Wednesday night coming up in a few weeks. And so we're going to invite them. We'll let you know when that is. It won't be this Wednesday, maybe the Wednesday after. We're going to have them come and just share about their trip and all those things that God did through their team while they were gone. But it is good to be together today. Welcome to church. If you are a guest joining us, we want to just extend a heartfelt welcome to you. Thanks for joining us today. We understand visiting a church can be a little overwhelming, but we are glad that you're here with us today, and we're honored that you're spending some time with us this morning. Chances are you found us online. Maybe you watched a couple of services, and you've taken the step to be here today, and we're thankful for that. At Bethel, we want to do everything we can to minister to not only you, but to your entire family, and so thank you for trusting us in that as we continue to partner with you to lead our kids and every one of us deeper in our relationship with Jesus. If you haven't done it yet, please reach down, grab a card. You can fill that out and make sure you go through these doors over here to see our Guest Connect team after our service this morning. Today we're concluding our series that we've been walking through, it seems like, for a while, but it's the series entitled Uncomfortable. There's some uncomfortable things we've talked about over the last several sermons in this series. We've talked about things that we all deal with, like grumbling. You know, we've dealt with things like lust. We've dealt with some sexual sins. We've dealt with, last week we talked about abortion and gender identity and euthanasia and racism and some other issues. Today we're going to sort of close out this series. Next week we're going to start a new series, I believe, on end times and looking at Christ is coming again soon. Amen. We believe that, and we're ready for that rapture of the church, and I think that's where we're going to head over the next couple of weeks here together. But today, we're going to close out this series by looking at a topic, that maybe some of us deal with, and maybe some of us deal with that we don't really give, a much credit to in our lives, but we deal sometimes with addictive behaviors. And so I think God, and I know God wants us to be free in Him. Amen? That's what God wants. And so there's addictions that sometimes we deal with in our journey, that God wants to bring freedom into our lives. And I believe that this morning that God wants to break some strongholds that we might be dealing with in our lives. There's stories every Sunday, perhaps there's a man that walks in, with a smile on his face and a Bible in his hand. Who knows? He knows that 6 nights a week he's consumed with maybe some pornography. There's a woman that might serve in ministry that is starting to rely more and more on wine to ease her anxiety. There's teenagers that can't go more than a few hours without checking their social media for affirmation. That's one type of addiction that we deal with in our culture. There's a man that can't stop checking his investment portfolio, his investment apps on his phone, perhaps even hasn't been able to put it down long enough to sit through service today without checking in on where those investments are. Here's the thing, that they all think they're in control, but in reality, they're being mastered. 2 Peter 2:19 says this, "For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved." Whatever overcomes a person, to that they're enslaved. And so I'd ask you today, are you mastered by anything, or maybe what has mastered you in our lives? What are you feeding in secret that's growing into a giant in your life? What is it that you might be dealing with that's going on inside of your soul today? Romans 6:11 says this, "So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's not just a command, it's our identity. Our identity can be found right there in that verse. Let me read it again. You must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in God, to God in Christ Jesus. Paul's telling us today, remember who you are in Christ. That's the message I want to give to us today, is remember who you are in Christ. That's a powerful thing that we need to understand every day of our lives, that we are men and women of God. We are children of God. We have a dad that sits on the throne, the all-powerful God of the universe, and we are his kids today. And I want us to remember our identity in him. You are not a slave anymore. You are not the same. And it's time we start living like we are free. Sin wants to be your master. Romans chapter 6 says this, starting in verse 11. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin, alive in God, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, who made you obey its passions. Do not present the members, your members, to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. You have been set free in Christ from sin. Amen? It didn't sound like you meant it. You know, but it's true. We have been set free from sinful behavior in our lives. That's what God's word teaches us. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Don't let sin reign in your life anymore. Don't let sin, you know, rage inside of your life. Let's break that down to the term reign means to rule over you as a king. Sometimes people can let sin rule over their lives like the sin is in charge. Sin is in satisfied with just being a visitor in your life. It seeks to the throne, aiming to control your choices, aiming to control your desires, aiming to control your schedule, aiming to control your emotions and your relationships. Sin wants to master every aspect of your life. But you are in Christ. You have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You are no longer under the dominion of sin, but you are now living under the grace of God. That's beautiful that we need to understand that we are now under the grace of God. And grace doesn't just cover us. Grace empowers us to be able to live separated from the bonds of sin. Peter gives us this sobering truth, 2 Peter 2:19. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. Paul echoes the same kind of words in 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Enslaved and dominated are two words that we just read in those verses. You can attend church, you can know your Bible, and you can still live in silent slavery to sin. I've been around church long enough, I've been a pastor long enough, that I know that there's people in this room today that are in slavery to sin. Not because God's power isn't available, but because we've accepted living in that sinful behavior and in bondage to that sinful behavior in our lives. What are some things we can be addicted to? There's a whole bunch of them. Possessions and material things can become our master pretty quick. Sexuality and perversions can become a master in our lives pretty quick. Pleasure or luxurious lifestyle or wealth can become our master pretty quick. Work can even become our master if we let it. Prescription drugs, illegal drugs can become our master. Alcohol can become our master. Tobacco or pot can become our master. Sugar can become our master. Maybe even coffee, right? Are you there with me? You know, can be our master. You know, there's a lot of things in this world that can be our master. But let me ask you some questions today. Do your family or friends say that you have a problem? Is there something in your life that they have identified that this is something that's a problem in your life? Or do you keep returning to something that's hurting the people that you love? Are you in bondage so much that you keep returning to something that you love? Are you structuring your life around some kind of sinful behavior in your life? Can you go a week without that sinful thing in your life? Is it causing you to withdraw? You know, are you hiding it? You know, these are signs of bondage, and bondage doesn't always appear dramatic. Sometimes it seems like comfort in our lives. Sometimes it's maybe just a little stress relief. I just need to, you know, go down that road just a little bit, Pastor, just to unwind a little bit and help me, you know, de-stress. But over time, what comforts us starts to control us. Satan has a cycle of sin and destruction in our lives. Here's some of the devil's playbook. It's good to have an understanding of who our enemy is, right? So that we can stand victoriously over our enemy. You know, one of the things that the enemy does is start to try to make your identity or your addiction become your identity. I guess this is just who I am now. I'm just stuck in this pattern of sin. Or we try to quit but fail, and then shame sinks into our spirit. And with each failure, our hope starts to diminish. I'm never going to get free from this area, right? The enemy lies to us over and over again and tells us those things. Anything that starts to threaten our addiction starts to feel like a threat to us. Conviction begins to seem like condemnation. You become defensive. You try to protect your sin. Maybe even try to justify your sinful behavior. And then maybe you start losing some important things in your life, your health or your finances or your friendships or your self-worth, or all begin to decline. And then what do? To numb our pain, we go right back to that addiction once again. And the cycle just sort of goes around and around and around we go in a cycle of bondage in our lives. Today, I want to speak truth over your life. First, you are not your sin, you are not beyond help, and you are not too far gone. God wants to bring grace and mercy into your life. Here's the gospel truth. You ready? Jesus didn't die to forgive you so that you could remain in your chains. He died to set you free. Jesus died to set us free. That's Jesus. That's the Jesus we serve. That's the Jesus we worship. It's the Jesus that came and died on the cross so that we can walk and live in freedom in our lives. A couple things I want to share with you today as we walk through just the next couple of minutes together, as we think about these things and think about addiction, think about bondage to sinful behavior in our lives. The first thing I want us to think about is that we need to first take ownership of our sin. We need to stop belittling it in our lives, and we need to start looking at it and saying, it's a big deal, and I cannot live in this bondage to sin anymore. Nothing changes until you take ownership of this sinful behavior or the addiction that you find yourself in, not just to yourself, but also to God. David provided a blueprint for confession and freedom. It's found in Psalm 32, verse 5. Let me read it. He said this, I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. What a beautiful verse, right? You know, we can all relate to this verse, and I was thinking we were all going to stand up and start shouting in victory right there. You know, but here it is. Let me read it again. I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin, right? That's the God that we serve that forgave us of our sin. Covering up causes decay, but confessing can lead into healing. Proverbs 28:13 says this, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. David cried out in Psalm 51, 2, and now skip to verse 4. After committing adultery and murder, he said these, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Against you, only you, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." God wants our honesty today. And that's where we start. We need to honestly look at our lives and say, is there something that's controlling my life outside of the Spirit of God? We need to second take it to God. You can't break free from your chains by willpower alone. You're not just fighting a bad habit, you're fighting a stronghold, and you need God's power. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. The weapons that God gives us gives us power to destroy strongholds. You're not just dealing maybe with a habit, you're dealing with a spiritual stronghold in your life. A stronghold is a fortified place, a sin pattern or belief that's built up walls in our lives. But God's power isn't just slightly stronger than sin. It's overwhelmingly victorious. The power of God is overwhelmingly victorious in our lives. God's power is greater. Paul writes 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." God's power is made perfect in weakness in our lives. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insult, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Sometimes the very thing we're ashamed of, that where we feel our weakest, is the place that God wants to display his strength in your life. It's beautiful when we look at those weaknesses and say, "I can't wait. God, help me. God, I know that I can have victory. I know I'm victorious in you, and I'm going to take a stand against sin in my life." You defeat sin not by gritting your teeth. You're victorious by surrendering your weakness to the power of God. We can't do it on our own. You can't be victorious. You can't will it enough that I'm going to be stronger than whatever temptation or sin is. We need to submit ourselves to God and say, "God, I put myself in your hands. God, help me to be victorious in my life." The third thing that we can do is we can take steps towards accountability. Overcome shame and pride. James 5:16 says this, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Right? There's one of the formulas right there. Confess your sins to one another and that you may be healed. Sometimes we need people in our lives to hold us accountable. And many times in our lives, we need people in our lives to hold us accountable. Accountability can help you break the chains of addiction. We need to be honest with the people in our lives. We may have confessed things to God, but we may need to confess things to people in our lives so that they can help walk with us and bring accountability into our lives. That could be one of your church family members. It could be people that God has placed in your life, you know, men and women of God. Why is this important? Because sin thrives in secrecy, but grace grows in community. Sin thrives in secrecy. When things are secret, right, then sin just continues to blossom and bloom. But man, God's grace, when we start talking about God's grace in community, it starts filling our hearts with hope, and we can be victorious against sin in our lives. Why is this, again, important? Or how can people help us in our lives? People can pray for you. People can pick you up when you fall. People can keep you accountable. People can help you seek professional support, and there might be some time we need a little bit of professional support, and that's okay in our journey, in our walk with God, finding a good Christian counselor to help us. Accountability isn't weakness, it's wisdom. Isolation, you know, is where Satan loves to play, right? He loves to help. Don't fight alone. Allow people around you to help you. Fourth, we need to suit up and fight. You know what? We need to confess things to God. We need accountability in our lives. But we need to take a stand against sin in our lives. Suit up and fight. Paul doesn't say manage sin. He says put it to death. That's what Paul says. Oh, you know what? Just play around with it a little bit. You know, a little sin's not that big a deal, right? Is that what we read in God's word? No. You know, Paul says, put it to death, right? Crucify your flesh, right? Get rid of these things. Let me be clear. You can't casually deal with sin. You must wage war against sin in your life. How do you do that? First, you need to recognize that you are in a battle. Let me rattle off some verses as I walk through these steps here. It's powerful. Recognize that you're in a battle. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this darkness, present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We are in a spiritual battle right now, and we need to understand that we are in that battle. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the enemy wants to do. That's his plan for your life. But Christ has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly, right? That's what Christ's plan for our lives is. And so we need to walk in step with our God and recognize we're in a battle. Next, submit to God and resist the devil. I love that verse out of James 4, 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Right? There it is. There's nothing so, you know, crazy about this formula. It's submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not, you know what, he might be a little intimidated if you pray the right prayer, right? He might be a little intimidated if you go to the right church. No, it says resist the devil, or submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Next thing, maybe we need to separate from people, places, and the habits that lead to sin. Do not be deceived, 1 Corinthians 15 says. Bad company ruins good morals. Bad company corrupts your life. You need to be careful who you're hanging out with. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame, 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34 says. Bad company can corrupt good morals. Take every thought captive. There's another step. And in this battle that we're in, take every thought captive. How many times does your mind just go wandering? How many times does your mind go wandering down a path that is not a godly path? That doesn't line up with God's holy word. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, for the weapons of your warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's what we are to do. Take every thought captive to be obedient to Christ. Philippians 4, 8, a familiar verse. You know it probably. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things, right? That's what we're supposed to be thinking about in our lives. But how many times do we find ourselves thinking about things that are not pure, that are not lovely, that are not honorable, that are not true? On and on we could go through that list. Man, we need to take our thoughts captive to be obedient unto Jesus Christ. Sometimes we just need to run. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. You can look at the context. You can see all the things that Paul's telling Timothy to run from. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness, right? Flee from sin. run from sin, just like Joseph did, right? In the Old Testament, what did he do? He ran from sin. He ran from temptation in our lives. There's some of us that just need to take that step and start running from sinful behavior. And finally, discipline your body. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. He says, you know what? I need to discipline my body. I need to keep it under control. I need to keep it in check. And we too are fighting this battle. There's a battle against the between the spirit and the flesh that's waging a war inside of us every day. And what are we submitting to? You can't outsource responsibility. You need to do your part, and God will do His. This is spiritual warfare. Every time you say no to sin and say yes to Jesus, you're reclaiming ground from the enemy. And it's a beautiful thing to understand that when we stand victoriously, yeah, guess what? We're taking back a little bit of ground, you know, for the kingdom of God in our lives. And so I challenge you. You're gonna fail some battles, but you know what? You can stand up once again, and you can say, not today, I'm going to go after God, and I'm going to resist this temptation in my life, and I'm going to run after my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't miss this. You don't fight for victory again. You fight from victory. A popular statement, but how true it is. We're not fighting for victory in our lives. You're fighting from victory. Why from victory? Because Christ already defeated the enemy. The enemy has been defeated, and we are on the side of victory. And one day, we know the rapture is going to happen, and we're out of this place, and we're home in the kingdom of God, in the presence of God for all of eternity. And I hope that you're looking forward to that day when that rapture will take place. But until then, we are still on the side of victory because we are the children of God. Remind yourself who you are in Christ today. Number five, fill your life with God's presence. Getting rid of sin is not enough. You must fill the void. Ephesians 5:18 says this, and do not get drunk with wine. I'm not going to preach a sermon on that right now, but man, it's tempting. Don't get drunk on wine. Amen? That's God's word. Don't get drunk on wine. I'll add in there, booze or beer or liquor or any of those other things. I'm going to add a couple of words in there, right? Don't get drunk on alcohol. Move on. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. I know there's some people that just say, I just need a little bit every day just to help me stay good and stay focused and, you know, just to take the edge off of all the things that I'm feeling in my life. But wouldn't it be so much better if instead of running to a bottle, we started running to the King and being filled with the Spirit of God? Don't get drunk on wine that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Run after the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Fill your life with God's Word. Why? It renews your mind. Fill your life with God's Word. It'll renew your mind. It'll change your perspective, how you're looking at things. We need to have that biblical worldview, everything we view through the lens of God's holy word. We need that in our lives. We need to fill our lives with His word. We need to fill our lives with worship. Wasn't worship wonderful today? Man, that God's presence was here. We're praising God and running after Him with our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strengths. And we can do that every day. Instead of listening to that junk you listen to on the radio, start putting on some worship music, and maybe you'll be more patient with that driver in front of you, so it'll be a double blessing, right? You know, and start worshiping God driving down the road. How many need to worship God driving down Pearl? Man, I need that because I drive Pearl every day. Fill your life with scripture. Fill your life with worship. Fill your life with prayer. It keeps us connected to Almighty God. Fill your lives with prayer. Fill your lives with community. Man, we need each other more now than we ever have before. We need the family of God. And so I'm challenging you to become part of the family of God. Get connected and committed to the family of God. Come together like we are on Sunday mornings. Man, come together on Wednesday nights. You know what? We don't start just at what time do we start? 10 o'clock? No, 10:30? There it is. We don't start at 10:30 around here. I don't even know what time church starts because I know church starts before 10:30. Church starts at 9 o'clock. Did you know that? You didn't know that? Well, it does. Every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, we come in here and we pray. Maybe you just need to come together and just start praying over our church together a little bit more. 9 o'clock every Sunday morning, we're here. People are leading us in prayer. We're spending time in prayer every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. You say, well, what do? Do you do that for an hour and a half? No. Guess what? We have some time. 9:30, we start our discipleship hour. And we have kids' classes, we have youth classes, we have adult Bible study going on at 9:30 to 10:15 or so every Sunday morning. And then we come in here and we worship God together at 10:30. Man, wouldn't it be awesome if you started coming to church at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning? I challenge you, maybe it's time to start changing some routines in your life and say, man, I just want to be around my church family today. I want to build, if you're here at 9 o'clock, you're going to start building relationships with people. Because guess what? There's breaks and there's times and there's transitions and there's hearing people's voices other than just mine, you know, on Sunday morning. And man, just come together and let's do life together. That's not to mention Wednesday night. That's a whole nother time that we're together. Every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We need community. You fill your life with scripture, worship, prayer, community. And maybe some of us need to fill some of our lives with a little bit of counsel. Right? And we need each other. We need biblical counseling, godly counseling in our lives. Don't just say no to sin. Say yes to joy. Say yes to peace. Say yes to Christ. And start building your life not just on empty things like addiction, but full of Jesus Christ. Last thing I want to share with you, we're about to close up. I know we're a little longer than normal today. Thanks for bearing with us. But we need to believe that there's hope today. You need to understand that there's hope today. You might say, Pastor, I've been dealing with this addiction, with this sinful behavior for decades. You don't understand, Pastor. I've tried over and over again. But let me tell you, we just sang a song off the wall, right? Earlier today. We sing songs off the wall here. That's what we do. We sang a song, and what did it talk about? The power of Jesus to break strongholds. We believe in the power of God to break strongholds in this place. This is the most important truth. You are not beyond hope. What's Jeremiah 29:11 say when Jeremiah was looking at these things? He says, for I know the plans, or God says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you hope and a future. You know what? That same God that Jeremiah serves, the same God we serve today. And God has plans for your life, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you future and give you a hope in your life. God's plan for you does not end in addiction. It ends in freedom and purpose. John 16:33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We serve the God that has overcome the world, and we are in a battle. The battle is real, but Jesus has already won the war. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God is with us, and we are living in the side of victory. As men and women of God, God is for you. He's not wanting to shame you. He's there to restore you. No matter how many times you fail, Jesus isn't done with you yet. You may feel powerless, but the Spirit of God inside of you is limitless. God's Spirit dwells in you as a man or woman of God. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence inside of you when you accept accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't have to fight this battle alone. You can fight it through the power and the authority of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Romans 6:13, do not present your members to sin as instruments of for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Present yourselves to God as those that have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Bring yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness. Allow God's Holy Spirit to work inside of you. Are you going to serve something? You are going to serve something. You need to choose your master. You can choose sin or you can choose your Savior. Shame or grace, bondage or freedom. Jesus is the better master. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, Jesus says. He offers you freedom, not chains. He provides grace, not guilt. He grants peace, not pressure. He died to free you from what's been holding on to your life. He rose to give you strength to walk in newness of life. And he lives to intercede for you right now. That's what our Heavenly Father, that's what our Jesus is doing at the right hand of God. He is interceding for you and praying that you would have the power to stand up against temptation in your life. Romans 6:14 says, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin will have no dominion over you. Close with this verse today. Joshua 24:15 says this, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want that to just penetrate into your heart today. You know what? Some addictions are, you know, we look at them and they're minor, they're little things, you know, maybe coffee or sugar or something like that, right? But there's other addictions that go a whole lot deeper, you know, that are really just some life-altering things in our lives. God wants to bring freedom in this place today. As I was praying over this service, I just felt that in my spirit so deep. I don't know what songs they're going to sing. I don't really talk about that with the worship team and worship leaders. And there we were singing about the power of God to break bonds in our lives, to break strongholds, is what that song said. I think God wants to break some strongholds in this place today. I know we're out of time here today, but we're going to spend some time. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and we're just going to spend some time in the presence of God. I believe God wants to do some things in this place today. I believe God wants to set some people free for some things today. Come to Jesus, confess your sin, call on his name, commit to accountability, cut off what enslaves you. Choose to fill your life with God. You may be weak, but he is strong. You may be broken today, but he heals. You may be mastered, but he can set you free. If we're tired of hiding or failing, trying to do it alone, we need to understand we serve a powerful God. Let's stand up today. We're going to spend some time in God's presence, and I'm going to be here as long as you want to be here. We can go out for dinner later if you want. Next couple of minutes, I will let you guys go. Once I get done praying, why don't we stay kind of where we are right now? And in just a minute, I'm going to pray and I'm going to open these altars. And, you know, so stay put for just the next 2 or 3 minutes. And then if you need to go, I understand there's schedules, there's life, there's responsibilities. If you need to go, you can be free to do that. We're going to turn this place into a place of prayer. If you want a fellowship, that's wonderful. Go outside of any of these doors. Go find your best friend and hang out and talk. And whatever it might be, however long you're there, it's all good. But this place is going to be a sanctuary of prayer, because I believe that God wants to set someone free today. So if you're here today and you say, I'm struggling, Pastor, and I've been dealing with this a long time, I don't know what it is. maybe it's something, you know, that is a big, you know, temptation and something that you've been dealing with in your life for so long, or maybe it's something that we might look at as insignificant, but to you it's something that's controlling you. You say, I need to be set free from this today. I need to be set free, you know, from these things that I'm dealing with right now in my life. And so whatever that might be, whatever the Holy Spirit's speaking to you today, I believe that God wants to set you free in this place. We're going to open up these altars. We're going to allow you to come and just find a place of prayer. It's not about coming to any individual. It's about coming to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because He is the one that will set us free in this place today. So as we pray, as I close in this time of prayer, I'm going to invite you to come forward and find a place of prayer and just spend time in the presence of Almighty God. Lord, we love you so much. God, we're so thankful for what you are doing in our house, Lord. We're so thankful that we can turn to you, and God, that you can bring freedom into our hearts and into our lives. And God, I pray for that right now. Lord, that you will bring freedom into this place. You'll bring freedom from the bonds of sin, Lord, from the temptations that we've been dealing with, that, Lord, we need to be set free from today. God, I pray that you will help us, Lord, to go after you, and God, that your Holy Spirit will do something supernatural in this place. And God, that you will bring freedom into our hearts and freedom into our lives. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for your presence that's here today. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to move in this time. As the worship team sings, come forward and find a place of prayer, and let's find that freedom that we need in our lives today. Come to the front. Let someone pray with you. Let's take the first to step out of slavery. Let's take this step out of slavery today and find freedom at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah, Jesus.